This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, hey, y'all. Welcome to Friendship Frequency. This is a podcast where we talk about our real life struggles and what's worked for us. We get vulnerable and discuss our everyday lives, and we invite you to go on this journey with us to better yourselves right along with us. I'm Tab.
And I'm Aaron.
And this is who we are, and this is what we do. Y'all, tonight, we have a very, very well-respected and good friend of ours on board with us tonight. We will be talking about self-sabotage and all the cringy and ugly and good things that go with that. He is someone that is well-respected in our community, and Aaron and I have just been following him and getting all the good nuggets we can from him for a couple years now. This is your unlikely mentor, Mr. Chris Webb. Thank you, Chris, for being with us tonight. How are you, sir?
Thank you.
Great. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here, for sure.
Awesome.
My introduction included the words cringy and ugly.
Right. Hey, let's set the stage right off the bat. Let's do it. So yeah, self-sabotage is what we're going to be discussing tonight. As you know, Aaron put out a TikTok. I'm pretty sure it's been seen a few times by a few people. But the question that he asked was, why is it that when we are doing well in our lives, as far as mindset or career, whatever facet of life that may be, why is it we have a tendency to self-sabotage? And what does self-sabotage mean to you?
You want to ask me that question, what it means to me?
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get into it.
You know what? It can mean a lot of different things. And like what comes to me right now, because I've learned so much over time, it means cowardice. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it in a state of fear. Because I believe that when a lot of people, when heading towards a goal, claim to have a fear of failure. And what I found over the years is that I don't believe there's a fear of failure, because who is not used to failing? I mean, we fail all the time. Fail all the time. We're comfortable failing.
Yeah.
So that's really not so much of a fear. But the fear of success, and we might have heard that before and say, oh yeah, fear of success, maybe I might get it or whatever. But if I peel back the onion a little bit and ask, like, well, what does that mean? Like, fear of success. And to me, that means is that, okay, so if I look at fear of failure, I know what I'm going to be. I know who I am. I know I haven't done this thing I'm trying to do, so I'm kind of comfortable failing. But fear of success would mean that I would become a different person, or I would need to become a different person in order to achieve this. And I've never met that person.
Mm.
I don't know who that person is. And so to me, that's scary. And that's why I said the word cowardice comes up, which I know is harsh, but it's, you know, in a sense of looking in the mirror, it's like, okay, so you're afraid of that person that you're becoming, but ultimately you need to become that person in order to achieve the things that we want to achieve.
Yeah, I agree. It's that comfortability, that being comfortable, staying comfortable in that box that we're so used to, and stepping outside of that and getting uncomfortable is, I think, what kind of creates that fear. Mm-hmm. And it can be like paralyzing for some people, or cause you to self-sabotage for sure. Whatever self-sabotage behavior that is that comes along, if you have to push yourself outside of that box, oh God, like even thinking about it, I'm not going to lie, it gives me a little bit of, a little bit of short of breath. Like, yeah, for sure.
We should talk about that though. So what gives you that shortness of breath? What gives you the anxiety of doing that? Like stepping outside of your comfort zone. What is it about stepping outside of your comfort zone that gives the panic mode?
For me personally, I think the first thought is, oh my God, what if you do it? Or, oh my God, if you do it, what does that look like? Just, it's the fear of the unknown, I think. And then probably, if I'm 100% honest, what is everybody going to think?
You hit it.
Yeah.
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 For sure.
Listen, let's talk. If we're going to do it, let's do it. I'll shed a tear in a second. We know that. Like, it is. It's that fear of what is everybody going to think. And for me, in my personality, who am I going to have to not necessarily step on? That's aggressive, but maybe push out of the way. Maybe even that's a little aggressive. Who am I going to have to surpass to get there? And what's going to happen in that relationship?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. The language that we use with ourselves is like surpass could actually be replaced with evolve. I mean, aren't we supposed to evolve?
Yeah.
Say the same thing. Like, we're supposed to evolve.
Listen, let me get my notepad and pen. Right.
it's all about the language we use, right? Mm-hmm.
And that's what creates the mindset. You know, I know we had a really good conversation right before we started here, and talking about mindset. Mindset is everything, and mindset is language. It is the language that we tell ourselves outside, our outer voice, our inner voice, and that creates our mindset every day, all the time, every minute, every second. So it's all the language that we use. And when we catch it, and having the awareness of that, is when we can replace words, and then we can switch.
Awareness. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Just like the saying of, instead of using I can't, I can. You know, simple as that.
Or instead of I got to, I get to.
Right.
They're simple things. And some people say, yeah, well, that's simple. But that simplicity stacked on top of each other creates a whole different trajectory for our mindset. You know, whether I feel like if I got to do something, I'm like slunched over. I'm like, oh, it's like a negative. If I get to do something, I'm like happy. Right. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is that even just the physiology of just doing that and that changes your mental state. You know, so if True. My language can create my physiology, then my physiology is going to change my mentality, right? So it starts with the words and the language, but going back even further, and then it starts with the awareness. So, and I think that awareness is just developed over time. It's a muscle, you know, over the years of like catching yourself and, you know, and swapping out and being okay with saying, no, I meant to say this, and being okay with that. And I know that's a little bit
I awful think it's about, but. Well, no, I think it's important to mention too, that this is not something, you guys, that happens overnight. Obviously, Chris has been doing this for a hot minute in this type of environment, and for way longer than Aaron and I have. Aaron and I are just now dipping our little baby toes in it. So we're learning from the people that came before us, i.e. Chris. And, you know, it's something we have to practice. We've heard everything that Chris is saying, Aaron and I have heard before, but it's that constant practice. It's the constant reminder and the constant awareness that makes it you know, solidifies it for you over time. So just keep trying. Self, this is me talking to self. Self, keep trying. Just keep replacing and keep switching.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that you just said right here is really important is that, you know, nothing, none of this is new for anyone. Like everything that we talked about is just going to be a reminder of some sort of something we've heard in the past. And then you said to bring that that reminder, to be reminded again, that creates, I would say, the importance or the significance of the importance of the people you surround yourself by. You're surrounded by people who are constantly reminding you of the things that we need to grow, then that muscle gets stronger and stronger. But if we're surrounded by people, it's like, oh, I've totally forgot about that, because you're not being reminded about it. You're not around it. And that reminder could come from books, podcasts, could come from, you know, different things that, you know, that we're allowing into our brains. But having those people around you that, will recommend the books and the podcasts and the good conversations, having that in the forefront of our minds all the time. That's why, like, Danny and I, when we talk, we usually have a really good conversation almost every day about something in our lives that's related to growth. And we're constantly reminding each other of these things. And it's kind of like, it just keeps us up, if that makes sense, right? It just keeps us up and we don't really fall off as much.
I love that. You guys are, for those of you that don't know, Danny is Chris's wife, and she's just as phenomenal as he is. Shout out to my girl. I love you so big. You know that. I love that. And I think, you know, the company you keep is, I think it can go either way. Like, you have to be aware either way. Keep, yes, the people around you that inspire you to grow and inspire you to be a better version of yourself, but also don't be afraid to cut off the dead limbs that are keeping you down and not feeding into that growth for you, or are remaining stagnant and are okay with it. I think that's just as important as having those people with the growth mindset around you as well.
And it's like you two. Like you two working together, you know what I mean? You push each other. And I think one thing that's really important is when we do, like, I think it's one thing to surround yourself by people. And I think it's another thing to give the other person or people permission to call you out on your bullshit.
Yeah.
Because
100% agree.
We get surrounded by people who are growing, but we're friends. And so I don't really want to say, I don't want to hurt your feelings, even though we're working on ourselves. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, there's a difference between friends and allies, right? So an ally is going to, like, keep you accountable. And like, I have some certain people in my life that will call me out 100% if I'm, from what I say to what I do. If I'm not doing what I say, then basically I won't get a seat at their table. So what happens is, like, I look at that as like punching above your weight class, right? Being surrounded by people who are doing the things in life that you want to be doing. And maybe you feel like sometimes, man, I don't even know how I fit in with this group of people. Perfect. That's the right group of people to be around, right? To try to be around as much as possible. And you typically have to bring something to the table to get let into a seat like that.
Something
to the table. So you're either bringing yourself, and if you're not grown, like, to a point that you're bringing, like, value like that, then sometimes you have to pay for it, meaning that, like, hiring a coach, right, or paying to go to an event or to be in a room. Like, these people paid, you know, $600 a piece to be in this room all together, you know what I mean? And then you meet those people and you create relationships and you learn a lot and you grow, and the next time you come around, or maybe you see them on social media or something like that, like you're leveling up. And, like, the more that you do that, the more that you can become those people at the table, if that makes sense. But those people at the table that, and we're all people at the table. And I hope this makes sense. It's weird.
Yes. No, I'm following.
I got you.
There's certain people that you guys would not allow to come sit at your table.
Most definitely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So same thing. So when we're looking at somebody at another table in our growth, with the same thing, right? And so what would that person have to bring? right? And so we have to think, what do we have to bring? And if they did bring something, I would hold them accountable. So if someone's going to come sit at our table, and then let's say they start talking about going into strip clubs and they're married, they're out, right? They're not keeping the standards, right? Right. And I'm using that for an example, but you know what I mean?
Right.
So whatever it is, or let's say, you know, we're doing this and we're all on a fitness trajectory or something like that. And they're like, we're going to the gym, and then they're going to go to Cheesecake Factory. It's like, okay, then we're obviously not, you're not going to be part of this group. I know that kind of sounds weird and clicky, but it doesn't matter. That's the way life is. I mean, if you want to get around people and grow, that's what it takes.
I mean, you definitely have to surround yourself, you know, stay around the fire, I mean, for growth. Like, you know, when you're in that dark place, I tend to like surround myself with negative people that like feed that warm, comfy, squishy place that I'm in, you know, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
But when I'm not in that place, I strive to be around that fire to get fed what I need. And it makes total sense. That's like, you know, like me and Tabitha are so great. I'm not afraid to call her out on her shit. I'm not afraid to call anybody out on their shit. And she's not afraid to call me out. But I get called an asshole sometimes because I'm truthful and honest with people.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Call them out and they take it as an insult or a dig. And I guess it could be like how I deliver it. But also at the same time, I don't feel that I'm a true friend if I'm not calling people out on their shit because I expect people to do it to me. Yeah. You know, hold me accountable.
I think with that though, Aaron, like it depends on the person and whether that person is really ready to receive what you're going to say to them. If they have a tendency to feel attacked, there's probably some truth to what you're saying to them, at least for me. So when you do it to me, I don't feel like you're coming at me personally. Like I feel like you're in that place of, hey, pull your shit together. Like you're bigger and better than what you're acting like right now. Like let's go. So I think that has a lot to do with the other person, not so much you, and whether they're ready to receive it or not. So don't stop calling me out on mine. That's all I'm saying.
I know it's not on me. I know it's on them, and they're just not in a place to receive it. So
Chris, let's end this. The reason I'm bringing this up in this podcast is because it's probably one of the things that I've heard you say that made the most profound impact on me. In anybody that I have spoken to, I say this to them. Oh, I can't wait. And as soon as I say it, Aaron's going to be like, yep. You've said it one time in a Zoom that we did when we did a Zoom with you and Danny, and it literally shifted everything for me. And I think that it is part of this self-sabotage, because I think when I go back and remember what that is, it kind of helps me pick myself back up off the ground. What does keep the promises you make to yourself mean for you?
That's the question you want to ask me?
Yes, because that is the one thing that you have said that I carry in my pocket all the time.
You can promise it to yourself. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. That could be unpacked quite a bit. You know, trust is a big thing. You know, we were just talking a second ago about maybe calling somebody out. Well, if I called anybody out and they don't trust me, they're not listening. So if I ever question why would someone not trust me, I have to question why would I not trust myself? And the reason why I wouldn't trust myself is because I lie to myself. And we all lie to ourselves. Constantly. Every day we're lying to ourselves. And if you say you never lie to yourself, you walk into a room and say, hey, I'm looking at a room full of liars. Yeah. Everyone listening right now is a liar. People will be like, what? So you lie to yourself constantly. And we do. I'm going to do this then. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I don't do it. Or I don't do it in the time that I said I was going to do it. Or to the level that I said I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But here's the thing is that when we do keep promises to ourselves, that's what builds not just trust, but that's what builds our own self-confidence, our own self-esteem, our own everything. And that's why here's a great example. I coach a guy and he told me when we first started talking, he was like, we were talking about fitness. This part of what we're talking about was fitness. And he said, yeah, so I made this deal with myself, or I told myself I'm going to do, you know, 100 pushups a day. I'm like, waiting for him to finish. And he's like, and I said, well, for how many days? He's like, I just 100 pushups a day. I said, well, you've already failed and you've already lost. You've already set yourself up for disaster because you will lie to yourself. Because, and here's the sad part about that. And you can replace that 100 pushups a day with anything you want. Anything you've ever said, I'm going to start doing this. And like every day, whatever it is, right? And here's the thing is that you can do it for 3 days and stop and be like, yeah, I failed. Right? Or you can do it for 3 months straight, which is a huge accomplishment. But the day you don't do it is the day you lied to yourself. And now all that shit doesn't matter. Oh, I didn't do them. Now all that doesn't matter. You just negated all that great work that you did. So if we look at it like that and say, like, if I want to keep promises to myself, then why aren't I just more realistic with my expectation of myself? Right? If I want to, I mean, we can pick anything. We can pick fitness, finances, marriage, mindset. We can pick any category. Fitness is kind of one that everyone can relate to. But it's like, if I want to lose, you know, 50 pounds, and people say, well, start with 5, right? But prove to yourself that you can lose the 5. Like, prove that. Look it, I did it. And then stack. And not say, but I still got 45 to go. Fuck that. Who cares? You got your 5. Like, celebrate that shit. You got your 5. What else can I do? Right? It's the same with everything. Like, if I want to run a marathon, I got to run 1 mile. And I can't trust myself to run a marathon if I can't trust myself to run 1 mile. So I think just setting ourselves up for proper expectations for the things that we want to accomplish and then celebrate them, right? Here's another thing that we tend to do. And this all ties together. It's like, let's say you go into the office at work and you typically grab one of the donuts that Susie Q brings in every single day. And today you didn't grab one. And you just go about your day. And you're like, yeah, I didn't grab one because I have this big ambitious goal over here and I didn't grab one. But I've had this big ambitious goal for a long time. But I did not celebrate that I didn't grab one. And I didn't tell anyone because who would care? It's not a big deal. Right? According to who? Right?
Right.
According to who is that not a big deal? Because if you grabbed one every day and it's sabotaging you and you just passed on that, that should be like a celebration, a dance. I'd be like, that's when you call your ally. That's when you message your ally, not your friend who's going to go, ooh, good for you. You passed your donut. No, they're going to be like, fuck yeah. Hell yes. Yeah, dude.
Yes.
Good for you. You know what I mean? Because that, I know you want to do that. I know that that was a hard thing for you to do. And I know you have big, ambitious goals, right? But we tend to not do any of that. Like, we don't do any of that. I shouldn't say that. That's globalizing. But the majority of people who are struggling are not doing that. And they're not finding people who will celebrate their wins and celebrate their victories. They're not even celebrating their own. Like, they need those people to point out their own victories. And that's bullshit. We need to, who gives a fuck what anyone else thinks? We don't need anyone's permission to win. We don't need anyone's like, can I celebrate? Is it okay to celebrate?
Right, right.
Why are we looking for this validation to celebrate and win?
Oh,
they're not paying.
So people. Good.
They're not paying. None of those people care. All the people, like, we're worried about people, like, who? And I want to challenge anyone right now. If you're worried about doing anything, because what will they think? I want you to write down the list of they. Just write they at the top, and then just start writing names. Who is it that you care so much about?
I love that.
Damn. Right.
It won't be a long list.
Okay, we can end it right now. Is that good? Oh my God. So good. You know, we have all these different things that are considered self-sabotaging behaviors. They all kind of boil down to some sort of fear or, you know, some sort of comfort. And I know for myself, I am 100% guilty of them. And I do think what you said as far as the, you know, what is it that you're scared of? It is that list. It's that list. And when you can, or I should say, when I can learn to get past that list and crumble that up and burn it or throw it away, whatever, like, it opens up a possibility that I just didn't think of before, or wasn't willing to look past that and see what was possible. That's
good. We have the facts, and then we have our emotions tied to the facts, which would be like the story that we tell ourselves about the facts. So the facts are Uncle Freddy, Trailer Park Charlie, whoever it is, gives me shit every time I post something on that. Him and someone else. But the story we tell ourselves is, I don't want a bunch of negative comments. I don't want to do that. I don't want to feel like people are going to, you know, and it's the facts are two people. Everything else, like, we don't know. And regardless of these two people, we don't know what anyone else thinks. We think we know. We think that people care about us. Like, who the fuck are we that people care about us so much?
Facts.
Like, oh, what's he doing now? Well, that says more about them than it does about me. Mm-hmm. Right? So why would I think I'm so important that all these people are going to be worried about what I do? So what does that say about me?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
Why am I concerned? Here's the thing. We all care about ourselves. Okay, look, here's a group photo. Who do you look for first?
Yourself.
Always. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone's always thinking about themselves, then why are we worried about what they're thinking about us? They're thinking about what we think about them.
Mm. Right.
I'm writing it down. Nobody is worried about your punk ass.
I mean, I look at...
We have to check our language and say, no one is worried about my punk ass.
That part. Right. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And because it's easy to, a lot of times, especially like, and I'm going to say this from like, so guilty. I got so soapboxy. Excuse me. In the beginning of my, call it like, growth journey, I was up on a soapbox, and the majority of the words that came out of my mouth were you or you guys and shit like that. And looking back at some of that stuff, because I shared a lot on social media, looking back at some of the stuff, I'm like, holy crap. I've actually taken one of my posts and screenshotted it and put like a red line through the word you, through this like paragraph that I wrote, and wrote me and I on all of them. And talk about a difference, like how it even reads back.
Yeah, that's powerful though. That's powerful for even Aaron and I doing this. Like, that's, you know, that brings awareness to us and calls us out, mm-hmm. and lets mm-hmm. us know we need to check that for ourselves. You know what I mean? That's huge. Yeah.
But you know, I don't always do it, but I do catch myself when I'm referring, when I say you, and I change it up to I, because it is about me. It's not mm-hmm. like, you're right. It's all about language. So,
yeah,
but it's progress, right? Not perfection. So
for sure. And unless someone's hiring you to like help them, then it really shouldn't be about them. in general, just like talking in general, right? Or even doing a podcast or anything like that, right? Telling a story or in order to share some sort of growth moment, I would have more permission to grow, or I would be more inspired to grow if I was listening to someone talking about their story, right? Not what I should do, but what they thought they should do, and then they actually did it. So in the sense of switching that to this is how I feel, and when I have this situation happens, because we have a tendency to say, you know how you feel when this happens? No, I know how I feel when this happens.
Yeah.
We generalize and we think that everyone, or we try to group everyone into feeling just like me. Well, guess the fuck what? Not everyone feels like you.
Yep. Right? Facts. Right?
So when we just say I, and this is how I went through, this is how I handled it, or am handling it, then the person who is listening actually feels more open to receive it as well, as you know, as opposed to saying you. I'm not like trying to, you know, say
no. Hey, that's good. That, are you kidding? Yeah. That's powerful.
That have helped me, you know, just having conversations with other people.
That's That's super powerful.
Yeah, I got it. I love that.
I have it written down. Don't worry, Aaron.
I think Aaron's recording this too.
I am.
He is. I'm the note taker. Aaron is the push record, and I am the note taker. I keep us organized.
You don't have your last name on your screen. I'm all just Chris.
No, it's all good. I can change it.
He'll fix it.
Yes.
So, what are some tools that you use to help you in those moments where you feel like self-sabotage may be coming on, or in the moments that you don't feel as strong as you want to? You know, what are some of the tools that you use to help you keep, you know, in that correct mindset, I guess I should say, or a better mindset?
So I have a lot of conversations with myself.
See, Aaron, you know, and you thought I was crazy.
I have a lot of thoughts that roll through my head from the books that I've read. And I believe that that is the most powerful part of
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts. Real gifts, thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Anything I've done over the past decade is started reading. Reading the right books for me. And so it's like when you see something, you can't unsee it. So when I come across something where I'm either moving towards my goals or away from my goals, every decision, right? And so when I'm at that moment of like trying to placate my decision, excuse me, to not move towards my goals and look for, you know, the woe is me or all of it, like trying to get buy-in from other people on why I shouldn't do something, whatever. Like I can do it, but I'm aware of what I'm doing. And because I'm aware of, and here's the thing, it's just, it's even deeper than that. It's not just that I know what I'm doing, but like, I'm like watching myself knowing what I'm doing. Mm. Like really, dude, this is you. So here's one of the tools that help. And this is a super powerful tool for me. I'm the kind of guy who, and then I'll fill in the blank. So whatever I'm up against, right? So here's an example. My brother and I were texting, and he's gone through some really bad things lately. And we were texting, and his texts all of a sudden were just real short. And anyways, a couple of days that went by, because we weren't texting like back, it was just like a day here, a day here, a day here. But then anyways, so I thought about it. I'm like, oh man, that last time that he said something, it was real weird. I should make sure he's okay. And I wanted to text him. And I'm like, and I thought about it. Do I call him or do I text him? And part of me didn't want to call for whatever reason. Cowardice? I don't know. Didn't want to get on the phone? I don't know. There's part of me didn't want to call. It was like easier to text, right? Just, lame, but true. And I had that moment and I used that and I said, I'm the kind of guy who. And I scratched that. I said, I'm the kind of brother who.
Oh.
Text my brother when he's not doing well, make sure, or call.
Dude.
Right? Wow. And it was an instant. I picked up, I couldn't.
Well, yeah, you can't not pick up the phone. Yeah, absolutely.
Tool. So when you're like, you know, told yourself you're going to go to the gym and you're like making all these reasons why you can't. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm the kind of guy who, or I'm the kind of person who, or I'm the kind of girl who makes excuses to not go to the gym, or I'm the kind of person who just goes to the fucking gym, even if it's for 10 minutes. Because I would be better with that person who goes for 10 minutes than the person that makes excuses that doesn't go at all. So there's
good,
a tool.
That's good.
Calling me out.
Right. That I listen, I was going to see who was going to say it first.
Amir, we can come up with all the excuses in the world not to do something.
But then we have to ask ourselves, not only that, is what do I like about it? So when you say, I can come up with all the excuses in the world, or whatever it is, or I find myself getting buy-in or looking for that comfort group of people, what do I like about that? If someone says that I can't lose the weight I've been trying to lose for years, what do you like about that?
What's the
natural answer going to be?
Nothing.
Nothing.
But bullshit.
Yeah. That's
absolute fucking bullshit. You do, or you wouldn't, or you would have lost the weight. There is something that you like about it, or you would have lost the weight. So if we just are all big boys and girls, we have to have the awareness. Okay, so there is something I like about it. What is it that I like about it?
Damn.
And we have to
being lazy.
Okay.
Listen. Oh my God, let me not tell my darkest secrets on here right now. Oh God, that's so true though. That's so true.
So you can tie that into self-sabotage. Like, why do I always start something and then stop? Why do I always self-sabotage myself? Well, what do I like about that? There is something that I like about it, or I wouldn't do it. We all do everything that we want to be doing, because if we heard before, that same priorities are never in conflict. So we're always doing whatever it is that we want to be doing, or we wouldn't be doing it. We're here because we want to be doing it. And we typically do things because we think we're right. I'm right in doing this. This is the right decision. That's why I'm doing it. Typically. And then when we have the awareness and we go, okay, and I know that I shouldn't be doing this, then can we step back and watch ourselves to actually say that out loud?
Oh, God.
Like, come on, seriously?
Oh, this is so good.
It is. That's why we brought you on.
Listen, I like literally am sitting here and I'm like trying to run through the excuses in my mind. And I'm like, no, none of that. Nope. Nope. No,
this is why I don't have a lot of friends.
But it's so needed though. Like it is such a, for me, I don't think there's a bigger love of people than that. If that makes sense.
I completely agree.
There's a difference in having, you know, acquaintances and friends, you know, oh, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. But then when you truly genuinely care about people, and you truly, genuinely have a love for the people that you surround yourself with, to me, that's real. That's the kind of people I have in my life. That's Aaron. That's me. That's Danny. That's you. You know, those are the people that I want to have myself surrounded with, because listen, that's as real as it gets. Like, and if you can't have that conversation with someone, then what are we doing? You know? Yeah. I wish you the best, you, your family, everybody, but I know that's not what this is about for us. So that's awesome. Woo! Well, didn't know we'd get called out on a podcast, Aaron. No, I'm just kidding, Chris. I'm just kidding.
I knew I would. I meant like our pre-conversation was like, so how's this going to go down? We're going to ask Chris questions and kind of interview him, and we'll throw in our two cents. And you're like, no, he's probably going to ask his questions back.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it was going to come with the fire. I knew it. I knew you were coming with the fire. And in my mind, we were in the hotel doing our workout, and you were just, yeah, keep going. I don't care about you crying. I don't care. No, it's refreshing to have that real, authentic leadership and, you know, advice given, because I think that's missing a lot today from whatever source people are going to. So I appreciate it more than anything. Like that's as real as it gets. And it does force you. It forces me to take a look at myself and the stories that I'm telling myself, and how true are they? Mm-hmm. Or is it just another, you know, excuse that I've made up in my mind? So no, I appreciate it for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I know that you guys do this podcast because you want to help people, right? So
yes,
like doing podcasts, you want to help people. And I know that you guys have seen some dark places and you want to help people through some dark places. And that's going to be through your experience. Like Ed Milette said, right? We're most qualified to help the person that we used to be.
Yeah.
And so we actually, here's the part about that I think gets missed by some people who want to travel down that road, is that we actually have to become someone better than who we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So we might say, yeah, I'm helping someone who I used to be, but are we still a little bit like that person we used to be?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what part of us has grown? And then that section or whatever part or area of life that has grown, and yeah, I'm helping that person that I used to be because I have grown. I have become a better person because of the things that I have done, and just sharing that, like that real raw, honest talk. Because I know that anything that you guys have done to get out of a dark place came from having those real conversations that we were just talking about.
Mm.
That's the only way anyone gets out of anything, is being honest. It's just being fucking honest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people are afraid of, because it's uncomfortable. But so when you're honest, so even like like when I think about this podcast, and you think you guys, you know, wanted to help people, and so just sharing your true honesty about what you have done and what you have not done,
right?
You know, like I can't help somebody who in something that I've never done. I just can't. So I focus, like, you know, when I work with people. Four main areas: fitness, finance, marriage, and mindset. And so those are the things that, like, I try to, like, bulk categorize my life in, to try to keep, not a balance, there's no such thing as a balance, but make sure that I'm, you know, working on, and I have shit set for my fitness, my finances, my marriage, and my mindset. And the mindset controls all of it. However, it does have a dedicated box, because that's going to be like reading in the morning, or meditating in the morning, or even getting up early to have my morning time, like rituals and things like that, like daily rituals. That's, I mean, anybody wants to accomplish anything in life, you got to have a ritual. I mean, you have people who live life, a good life, and then a great life, an excellent life, an elite life. And to think for one second that people aren't living like an excellent or an elite life, that they don't have daily rituals, we're fooling ourselves to think that that's the case. So if we want to have that, we want to live that life of like, man, I really just want to crush it in any area, whatever it is, I need to have a ritual every day in that area. And I need to be honest about it, right? And an honest ritual that I can do, and do it for a period of time, hopefully a long period of time, so it could become like a lifestyle. And then you'll have the experience to talk about, wow, that change. and this is how hard it was. This is what I went through. This is what I learned. You know what I mean? But it's a ritual, and it doesn't have to be daily rituals. I mean, you have rituals even like doing your work, like even with these podcasts. You know what I mean? Everything should have a ritual if we want it to play at a higher level.
That's so good. It's, you know, we've heard the rituals and we've heard the physiological and neurological connection between them through Joseph McClendon III. All of us have been to one of his events and heard him speak and made the connections with all of that. You don't realize, I think for me, I didn't realize how much, you see me catching myself there?
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much the rituals and the stop techniques and the things that we learned from him, I didn't realize how beneficial they were the first couple of times I heard him. It was like, I did it in the moment because we were all doing it. And, you know, that was part of the experience. Mm-hmm. And then just the other day, it was yesterday, as a matter of fact, I told Aaron this. Yesterday was just a really emotional day for me. I still don't know why exactly. I don't know. Full disclosure, when I found out you were coming on the podcast, I messaged Aaron and I was like, I could throw up right now. Like, it was just... And it's not like we hadn't interviewed you before. It was none of that. It was just the level of respect that I have for you and for Danny. And let me not get emotional. Anyway, so yesterday was just a really emotional day for me. And I caught myself doing the stop technique all day long. I mean, just repeatedly. And I had done my ritual that morning and typically, it would have sent me spiraled. I would have spiraled out of control and let my emotion take a hold of me and just been in it. But yesterday, I mean, I was able to kind of, you know, pull it together enough to get through the whole day. And then the day got a little better. And I just had to keep recentering and stopping doing the stop technique and putting myself back in reality instead of inside my head. So I personally didn't realize how beneficial they were until I actually started doing them on a regular basis. So for me, that's been huge for me. Even just the rituals has been huge. So I agree 100%.
And I think there's a big difference between like negative rituals too, versus ones that are beneficial to you. Like I, for myself, have some negative benefits in my life that I need to change. And, you know, more positive ones would be like upon awakening, immediately drink a cup of water or something like that. You know, it's because we're all about energy and water's conductive. So
how hard is that?
It's not hard at all, really.
Well, I don't. It is. It is hard because otherwise you'd be doing it.
Oh, drinking the water?
Yeah.
Well, I started doing it.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Oh, so you are doing it.
I am doing it.
Okay. I thought Aaron was about to get called out.
You said that something you could start doing was to drink water every morning.
Well, I started doing like when we, I think it was at Moore and Justin McClendon suggested doing something like that. I did it for a couple of days and didn't follow through with it. But since the recent one, what he was saying made more sense to me rather than like I wasn't necessarily at the place when I heard it the first time for it to really make sense. Mm-hmm. But this time hearing it just totally clicked with me. So I've been doing it every morning. Mm-hmm. And it's great.
Yeah, I remember Dani, she introduced me to having a big cup of water. She had one next to her bed every night. Now we're in a routine where like I fill up her water and my water before we go to bed, once by her nightstand, once by my coffee maker. And when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do, I walk over and it's room temperature already because I filled it up the night before and I can just pound it. And it's like 27 ounces big. But wow. It like lights up my body right away. And I've been doing it for years now. But in the beginning, it was like, it was such a challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, why really is it that? Really is it? It's a challenge here. The story
yeah.
I'm telling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fact. We're not a challenge, right? Just like being, like Tabitha, you're talking about like things that were going through happening yesterday, but like what physical things were happening yesterday that were causing emotional reactions, right? And I don't know what they are, but a lot of times there's less physical things happening and more storytelling up in here.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was exactly that. And it was also me beating myself up because I hit the snooze button and didn't get up and do my morning stuff the way that I was supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a phone or a clock?
I have a clock that I have to get up out of the bed and walk across the room.
And hit snooze and then walk back to bed?
Yes. Listen, if I do it on this will fly. This will fly and it's okay if I have to get a new one. And I beat myself up about it quite a bit yesterday. And listen, nobody can beat me up as good as I can. And it is definitely something that I need to work on 100% for sure. So.
And we all have the things and, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, so can I do this for 4 days in a row? I mean, I don't know, whatever it is, right? Can mm-hmm. I do it for 4 days in a row and then do it 4 days in a row and celebrate the shit out of it, right? Mm. And then, okay, how did I feel? Like evaluate it. Was it mm-hmm. good? Did it work for me? Yeah, okay. Maybe I take 2 days off and I'm going to do it for 6 days in a row, whatever. Or like sometimes getting up early here, let me tell you a story. When I tried to get up early to read, my kids still lived at the house and I tried to get up right before everyone else did. Well, right before with hitting snooze, chasing the snooze button and shit like that, I get up and then someone else would get up and I'm distracted. I couldn't do my morning thing. I had to learn to get up earlier and earlier. And I was given the advice of just set the alarm clock 5 minutes earlier every couple days. Mm. Like don't go from like, I usually get up at 8 o'clock and now I'm gonna get up at 6:30, right? Like, no, get up at 7:45. Start getting up at 7:45. And then slowly, a week later, something like that, 7:40. You'll never notice the difference. 7:30, never notice the difference. And when I tell you what time I get up in the morning, like most people shit themselves because I don't know what the fuck. But I get up at 3:30. I get up at 3:30.
I knew it. I think I heard you say it on your podcast, actually. I think I heard you and Dani talk about it or something, maybe a live or something. And I was like, good God. Like,
yeah. Here's the thing. So because Dani gets up early and she teaches classes, class here in the morning. So I need my time before she gets up because once she gets up, I'm distracted. And so if I don't have my time of if I'm meditating or if I'm reading or what or working or doing whatever I'm doing for me, then if I don't have that time in the morning, it's just like when we hit the snooze button, right? And then we miss out and we feel like, and we're beating ourselves up because I didn't do whatever it is, right? Feel behind, feel whatever it is, right? Feel off. And so in order to do that, I need my time in the morning. I think everyone should have their time, whatever, whatever it is. Some mm-hmm. people, that's late at night for some people, but for mm-hmm. me, it works. So whatever it is, you know, I think it is important. But here's the thing is that, like, a lot of people will do really good Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And this could be for anything, for the snooze button, for eating, for exercising, for anything, for reading. You know, I'm good Monday through Thursday, but then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I slack a little bit. If you do the percentage, that's like a 54% of something like that. It's an F, failing. We're trying to win at like an Damn. A or a B level. But if you grade yourself on the percentage, it's an F.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I remember when I first started like getting up early, I was like, well, I'm not going to get up early on the weekends, but then I struggle come Monday again.
Yes.
I let myself off on the weekends. Well, why do I need to be off on the weekend? Do I need to catch up on sleep? Am I not going to sleep early enough? And for everyone, it's different for everyone, right? It's different for everyone. Some people will have jobs and craziness and they don't get hardly any sleep, but you know, go to bed earlier. You know, if you yeah. can, go to bed earlier if you want to get up earlier, right? Whatever it is, you can adjust. Most people can adjust. But getting you time in there is important, and then doing it so that it becomes like a natural thing, that it becomes like, when I'm talking about a ritual, like my ritual every morning is like, I have things that I do every, like a step this, then step that, then step this. And you put your toothpaste on before you know what I mean? It's just, it's, mm-hmm. you know, not just the basic stuff, but it's like that. You know what I mean? And if we can plug in different things in our life, including the fitness part, including the nutrition part, including the marriage part, where we're actually communicating with our spouse or our significant other, whoever it is, and our finance part, if we're doing plugging one of those things in every single day, you can't lose. It's just when we unplug them, and we unplug on the weekend, and it's an F. I don't know why I started talking about that.
So good. So good. Oh my goodness.
Y'all are gonna have to kick me off. I'm gonna keep talking all night.
Listen.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, I can. We'll be right there with you.
We can do another one of these.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I'm going to have Danny on at some point. Yeah. It'll be...
Well, I don't know why. I didn't think... I thought it was just Aaron and I for some reason. And then when you came on time, I'm like, oh shit, Danny's going to kick my ass.
Oh, she definitely is. She definitely is. Yeah, you just listen. I'm sorry in advance. I don't know what to tell you.
It's all good.
You know, you guys have been such... just always, anytime Aaron and I have come to you or to Danny, mm-hmm. it's always been with open arms, and it's always been just really good. You just breathe life into people, Chris, and it just is real. It's not the hopped up, you know, foo-foo version of anything. And I, from the bottom of my heart, like, I thank you, and it's been an honor, an absolute honor. We could do this all night. We have to find a cutoff spot. Do it all night for sure.
Well, I appreciate it, you. I appreciate, you know, I'm glad that our paths crossed, and because you guys have always just been real, have been real. And what's interesting is on your journey in doing what you guys are doing, you will find, and you probably have already found, that it's a small percentage of people who have reached a spot that they're actually real and they're genuine and they say what they mean and mean what they say. And all of us, and we're not perfect, but that's what right. we're aiming to do, right? And mm-hmm. And we find that there's less and less people like that. And that's why a lot of people are like afraid to lose friends, or like, I lost my friends, or whatever it is. It's like, mm-hmm. we have to friends is an interesting word. You know, finding people in life who are real and real enough to have a conversation with. I mean, we're all human. We all love. We all want better for our fellow man. We really do. And I truly believe that. And so when we find people who are like taking those steps to improve themselves and to have their arms open saying, yes, I'm that kind of person who wants to be like that and grow like that, and then coming together, it's like, I don't know, when I hear you say that, like, about Danny and I, it's just like, you know, we're just like you guys, mm-hmm. you know, like you guys, but we just maybe, you know, just maybe a couple steps ahead in some areas, and as far mm-hmm. as like mindset and stuff, but everybody is. And there's, you know what I mean? It's like this train, you know, like, like this train that people were way up here, like Jim Rohn. And, you know, I think like these great thought leaders, you know, and then there's everybody. And then there's where I'm at. And then there's people who are coming up, and it, like, it never stops, you know, and hopefully I never stop and continue to grow and continue to like learn from, you know, the leaders and then share what we learn to people who follow us. I think one of the biggest, one lesson that really stuck out with me in regards to doing anything public when it comes to growth is that that it's important to be a follower to those in front of you, a fellow traveler to those around you, and a leader to those behind you. But the most important thing is to know when it's appropriate to do what.
Wow. Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
That's so good.
So when we are out and about, we are in growth situations, like I have a tendency to want to talk a lot and I have to close my mouth and listen because I might be missing out on a bunch of growth because I think that I'm right here and I'm not, you know? So
anyway, that's so good.
Maybe we'll wrap with that.
So Chris, want to give you the opportunity, where could people find you? What are your, some of your socials if they want to hear more about you? Oh yeah, there's the book too.
Yeah, I wrote that book. I wrote that thing quick. I wrote it and published it this year. That's Fearless Branding, I guess, it was, if you're just listening. So people can answer your question, Aaron, just Facebook, Chris Webb. I think it's Chris Webb 148. I don't know. I made it when I was like 12. No, I wasn't 12. I feel like it was when Facebook first started, but whatever, but it's Chris Webb and you probably find me just like that. Instagram, Chris Webb, you can just find me just by my name. That book really came from a lot of the stuff that we're talking about right now. It really came from, that book is geared towards network marketers. However, I've taken what from that book and I've shared, I've done presentations and workshops for different sales organizations outside of network marketing, and just how to brand yourself instead of being the salesy, cringy person trying to push things on people. And then building a long-term self-brand that people are actually attracted to. So it doesn't really matter what you're doing in life. If you are doing something and people want to be a part of it, they're doing it. They're being a part of it because of you. Because look, people do business with people. They don't do business with businesses, right?
Facts.
Or product.
When you can just kind of share who you are, if your business allows that, right? Like some businesses, if you're, you know, I don't know, selling plug-in cords for your iPhone, I guess you don't really have this public view. But you know what I mean? So, but if you're selling something where you actually deal with the public, you know, the first thing that I do is I look to see who the people are and look at their social media and, you know, and who they are. You know, I put a post out not too long ago about, because it's political season right now, right? And so some local offices, I'm like, well, who's this person? So I go try to find them on Facebook and all I find is a Facebook page and it has their policies and it has their professional, everything's professional. I'm like, no, where's the real stuff?
Right.
Where's the real person that I'm, you know, voting for or not voting for, whatever. So I posted that out on Facebook. I'm like, hey, heads up, you people running for office, you should show who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you don't want to, whatever.
That's how important
That's how important it is. And I think just in our everyday lives and everything that we're doing, like whatever you guys are doing, let's say you guys are doing something and then all of a sudden you have, you know, you made some t-shirts for this podcast or something. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying, whatever. People would buy the t-shirt because of you guys, not because of the shirt.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So that's kind of like where that book idea came from on that. I also have a digital course that's from that book as well. I'm thinking about putting out there. It's already done. I just haven't
Oh, is this where I say, oh, Mr. Webb, what is the holdup? Why have we not released that yet?
You know what? Because I have a lot of projects I'm working on, to be honest. Because I'm spreading myself a little bit thin right now. I have a few projects that I'm working on. And so
Don't you have like a men's betterment course or something like that too?
I have an event coming up for that in November. We're doing a men's mastermind, a growth mastermind event on November 2nd. And I help people with, I also do coaching. So like performance coaching one-on-one with people. And then not in the gym, like life performance. And then social media coaching to help people brand themselves on social media. And then I've taken on a new project of building websites.
Wow.
And so I'm busy.
And you are.
2-year-old grandson. And
I was just going to say, he's got the cutest 2-year-old grand who, yes, all that other stuff is amazing, but he's got the cutest.
Yeah, none of that other stuff matters.
Yeah. Cutest 2-year-old grandson that, listen, oh, he's to die for. Gosh. Well,
but anyways, but I appreciate you guys having me on. This was fun for sure.
No, we appreciate you for coming on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure.
All right.
There's just so much. There's just so much.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and take us out here. Please like, subscribe, follow, and share on all platforms. And don't be afraid to reach out to us with feedback and topic ideas. We're here to offer hope and everyone we can and cannot do without you all. Until next week, I'm Aaron.
I'm Tab.
And this is a Friendship Frequency. This is who we are and this is what we do. Have
Good
a great night.
Night.
Peace out.
Good night.